It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this past week has been, we opened the new year. We were here on New Year's Eve, and here we are on the 7th of January. And there have been some worthwhile notes. I had occasion to mark down several snowfalls that occurred right around the first of the year. I went out and measured the snow in my yard. I have 36 centimeters. You may recall, if you were listening this morning on the talkback segments, the children in Kellier had 66 centimeters of snow in their schoolyard. Now, 1 inch is equal to 2.54 centimeters. So after you've done the math, you'll have figured out just how deep the snow is at Kellier and at my house. I also checked in on, I just took a survey of all of the critters that showed up at my house on the first of the year, and I must say that because I was actively involved in the University of Minnesota Gophers football game against Auburn, that I was not perhaps as attentive as I might have been, but I don't think I missed anybody. On the 1st of January, at my bird feeder, I had cottontail rabbits, 2, red squirrels, 3, black-capped chickadees, uncounted, just because I don't know. I saw at least 5 on the feeder at one time, but do I have 5 or do I have 15, and are they taking turns? It's pretty hard to tell. I had a female pileated woodpecker, so that means I probably have a male somewhere in the neighborhood as well. I have a male red-bellied woodpecker. I have male and female hairy woodpeckers, male and female downy woodpeckers, male and female red-breasted nuthatches, white-breasted nuthatches, and I had I mentioned the black-capped chickadees, so that's pretty much it. Now, other years, I might have expected to see some goldfinches. I might have expected to see some pine siskins, maybe some redpolls, a few evening or pine grosbeaks, but not this year, and the evidence is such that there aren't very many, especially pine siskins, redpolls, and pine grosbeaks. There are very few around. And, pardon me, up in Vedette, they had their Christmas bird count this last, I think it was Sunday, and they had no pine siskins, no evening grosbeaks, and no pine grosbeaks. My good friend Jeff Burcham, who works up there, or is retired up there as a conservation officer and works with the schools doing phenology, also reported no pine siskins and no evening or pine grosbeaks at his house. And so there is a definite shortage of what I would call winter birds that typically come to our area during this time of year. They are just not here this year. The theory is that there's more food available for them in Canada, and so they are not feeling the pressure to come south. We'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. I did mention that we had snow on the 2nd of January. I took a trip up to the bog to take some pictures. There was snow clinging to all but the narrowest branches on the trees. And I mean, it didn't matter if you were a birch tree or a maple tree or an oak tree or a Norway or a balsam, or it didn't matter. Everything had snow stuck on it. The other thing that was kind of interesting is that as I drove up there and I was driving through this thick stand of pines, I noticed that if I turned my head to the right, all of the trunks were plastered with snow. And so it was very, very white with these thin black lines, which would have been the edges of the trunks. So there was lots of that. If I turned my head to the left and looked at the other side of the road, all of the trunks were black. There was no snow visible at all. And it was just this deep, dark forest with no light reaching the ground at all. And it was such a contrast from one side of the road to the other that it was very, very interesting. And I'm pretty sure that if you're in the right position, in the right spot in the next little while, you might encounter the same thing. You may see a spot where on one side of the road, all the trunks are plastered with white, and the other side of the road, you're looking at the other side of the tree. So the snow obviously came down in a single direction and really got plastered onto the edges of the trees. I saw a white-tailed deer in a friend of mine's front yard on the 2nd, and the deer was belly deep. You could not see any light under the deer. The snow was that deep. So still, it's tough for the deer to get around out there. Not only tough because of the depth of the snow, but tough because of the crust on the snow. Makes it pretty hard going. I also saw and heard American crows, and normally this time of year, the crows would be out of this area and living in the balmy environs down around Minneapolis or further down along the Mississippi River, but with our gradually warming winters, the crows do not feel the same threat, and so they spend a bit more time in the north, and some of the crows are simply just not going south. They're not migrating. They're just sticking it out up here. And my last note concerns, well, actually I have two notes left. One, I took my dog over to the dog park the other day just so she could smell other dogs and socialize a little bit. It's not like with the 40 acres that I have out in the country that she lacks for areas to get exercise. She can get plenty, but I wanted her to kind of mix and mingle with a few other dogs and see if she couldn't socialize. But the one thing that I noticed at the dog park in Grand Rapids was that there were a lot of white pine branches laying on the snow. And the white pine has this uplifting branch growth. So if you look at white pines from a distance, you'll see these branches that are sweeping upward, and they just seem to invite snow, and they load up with snow. And at some point, especially when you get like the wet, heavy snow that we had just before New Year's, that weight can break those branches off of the trees and send them crashing to the ground. And there were some near the dog park that were in excess of 5 inches in diameter. So it can take a pretty big branch and peel it right off of a white pine. The interesting thing that I've learned about white pines as a result of this habit of losing these branches to snow load in the wintertime is that it opens them up and they present less of a sail to the wind. And if you recall that big windstorm that came through here a few years back, and it just wiped out trees from Bemidji all the way to Grand Rapids and further east. If you remember, for those of you in the Bemidji area and for those of you who travel Highway 2, you may recall the Norway Beach State Park, there was a huge stand of what I would guess were 75 to maybe 100-year-old Norway and white pines mixed in that forest. And after that strong wind went through, all of the Norways were either broken off or uprooted and tipped over. And the white pines remained. And the white pines remained because of this habit of theirs of sort of shedding branches and opening gaps in their structure so that there was plenty of places for the wind to blow through. And the Norway pines don't shed branches and don't load up with snow the way the white pine does and don't then have these openings within their canopies. And they stood up like sails and said, you know what? give me what you got. I can take it. Except that in this case, they couldn't, and they came down. And so there is some advantage to being a white pine and to shedding a few branches from time to time. It can help preserve your growth as you seek to become one of the old growth white pines. Final note, I was out in the garage yesterday, and speaking of white pines, I was in the process of turning some white pine into benches. And I'm building some benches as a part of a Christmas gift for my children. And I was working along, just kind of pulling the scraper down this big pine board, and all of a sudden, there's this little moth there on the board, and I looked at it, and I thought, who the heck are you, and what are you doing out flying around? Well, I sent the moth off to a friend of mine, and he sent it on to a friend of his, and his friend is a lepidopterist and an expert in moths, and he came back with the identification of it being a Montana six-plume moth. And we have it posted on our KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page, and you can take a look at it. The interesting thing about this moth is that it is active throughout the winter, overwinters as an adult, gets up and flies whenever the weather warms up a little bit. It hides under loose bark, in wood piles, sometimes in buildings, and of course I have wood piles, loose bark, and it's a building. Although yesterday it was warm enough, I didn't have a fire going in my shop. I was just working in the nice warm day that it was out there, and so this guy was a little bit cold and kind of walking. Well, I coaxed him up onto my finger, and he spent about a minute standing on my finger, and then all of a sudden he decided to fly. And he was a plucky little fellow, I have to tell you. And he flapped his wings, and he managed to fly a little ways and landed on the pine board that I was working on. And I was quite impressed that he could recover from as cold as it has been and then come back and be up and flying about. It turns out that this is not unusual for the Montana six-plume moth. It's not a big moth. It's probably a half an inch from one tip of the wing to the other, and but it is kind of pretty little moth, and it spends as a caterpillar, it spends its time on snowberry Symphorocarpus Symplocarpus, I believe, and honeysuckle Lonicera. And we have lots of Lonicera in this area, and so I suspect that that's where the caterpillars feed in the summertime. But this time of year, there's a moth loose in my wood shop. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.